boys ready for this? Howdy, folks, let's gather around for the best sports talk in town. We got our hosts, Darren, Tim, and Chris. Baby, can't get better than this. Give out all the power rankings. Laugh at all the teams tanking. A lot of fun, a lot of surprise. Let's give it up for the guys in this league.
Word to your mother and welcome into another episode of This League Fantasy Football Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Chris, owner of Team Fairlife, here with the usual crew, Aaron, Sun God Squad, say hi.
Hello, how's it going?
And Tim, manager of Close But No Jamar, say what's up.
Broke my losing streak.
The crowd goes wild.
The crowd loves it. Nice. Congratulations. How's it feel?
Actually, shout out to you, Tim. That's a monkey off the back.
That's right. Winning Sunday, we'll get into how's it feel? Feel good.
It does. It feels weird. Feels weird to be sitting here. One week left, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
Wild.
1 week left of the regular season. It is the evening of December 3rd, 2025, episode 105. Of course, we are bringing you the week 13 review, an updated playoff picture, along with an updated power rankings, another crack at the This League. Guarantee, Tim, we are getting on the board this week. What do you say?
Yes, gonna happen.
And
break another losing streak.
And yeah, you go. And the week 14 preview drink of the week. Aaron, are we all drinking the same thing this week?
If it rhymes with, I don't even know how to rhyme it.
Slaughter.
There we go.
Some nice fresh slaughter.
Yeah. Yes, all of us on water. Tim's got some fancy water over there, it looks like.
Dude, I got by some marketing campaign that was out there. And it's like, you know what? I'll buy your glass bottle of water.
What's the review? Out of 10, what do we got?
Tastes like water out of 10.
Okay.
Nice. Tastes like slaughter.
Don't know that it's any better than a kitchen tap, but here we are.
There you go. All right, boys. Well, let's quickly get into the Week 13 review and see what the heck the playoff picture looks like heading in to Week 14. Week 13 saw several matchups with playoff implications. Ladies and gentlemen, some with seeding, some with making the playoffs, some with the first round bye, and that's actually where we will start. Hayden, all but certain, cashes in on his first round bye in the top of Chipotle. Well, I guess he already had that before this week started, but he made quick work of Anthony, 131 to 72. Definitely solidifies that number one seed heading into the playoffs. Zach and Brees Lightning stay alive, stay frisky, and they down in Jigbas and Paris, 132 to 100. Stretch overcomes the Sun God Squad, 117 to 76, to all but book his spot in the playoffs. Tim downs Steven, 138 to 119, the second highest points scored on the week for Tim, to keep him with a chance of making the playoffs. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, he downed Steven, which makes the race for the Qdoba division all that more interesting. And then of course, your boy, the third highest points scored on the week, loses to Clayton and the Red Rocket with the highest points scored on the week. Again, just the fifth time this year, guys, that I've been the top three of points scored and lost to the highest points scorer. 100 more points against than the next closest person on average, about 300 more than the rest of the league. But who's counting? If I lose next week, tune in for the crash out. I was really close to crashing out this week. You know, freaking Nico Collins getting an end around after three BS penalty calls from the Colts. Brock Bowers, I only need one freaking hand to catch my second touchdown of the game with 2 minutes left in a pointless game when we're down 30. Yeah, of course you're going to do that. Yeah, whatever. Aaron,
the
what
crash
was your,
out will be unbelievable.
What was your biggest takeaway from week 13?
Yeah, my biggest takeaway is going to be all eyes on Team Uninspired Youth.
Yes,
and Anthony.
Indeed.
because his team is, well, uninspiring.
Nice.
In my opinion, I think Anthony's in great danger of an early playoff exit. He has not been trending in the right direction in recent weeks. And it might just be a little bit of fool's gold the last few weeks, especially because let me read off some of these point totals. Week 13, so this past week, 72 points. Week 12, 117. Week 11, 128, which, you know, I would consider that respectable.
For sure.
But then week 10, 116. In that stretch, he is 3-1.
That's nice. That must be really nice.
Because he's playing teams that just, you know, Clayton, I think, scored in the 70s. Don scored a little over 100 when he played him. And you just look at the vibes of this team, and they are just not great, especially Justin Jefferson, which I'll throw this out to the squad here. Panic level on JJ, I'm going 10 out of 10, 11 out of 10.
Same.
Yeah, for the rest of this year, yeah. Like I said before we hopped on, I would be a must bench. Like, I don't think you can throw him out there right now.
That's impossible.
It's crazy to say.
We'll get into preview, but that sounds impossible. He's like one of those names that's just you can't. Like, I totally understand why, but it's.
But yeah, in conclusion, whoever is the sixth seed, because I think Anthony pretty much has the three seed locked up. I think you want to play Anthony at this point.
Tim, your biggest takeaway from week 13?
I'm still alive, baby.
All right.
Let's go.
You could talk all day long about at 4-1 how I had my first crash out of the season and put everybody on the trade block and then go on to lose seven in a row. But there's still a chance. You're saying there's a chance. I'm still alive for the playoffs, baby.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember that year? It was, man, probably 10 plus years ago now, when the Seahawks won their division going like 7-9.
Yep. And that was the beastquake.
Yeah.
The Marshawn Lynch run.
Yeah, baby.
So, you know, Tim's just riding those vibes, man.
Hey, don't let Zachary squeak in there.
The snowball in the microwave. We still see it. It's there.
That's right.
It's on. It's rotating. You know, the timer's counting down, but it is in the microwave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will say, I am sad, but Team Fairlife losing last week was the best thing that could have happened for the playoff race. It still put a lot of people in there. Oh, yeah. So my biggest takeaway from this past week is that the battle for Qdoba is still on, ladies and gentlemen. I think last week we thought that Steven had a pretty good shot of just wrapping it up, winning it. He was playing Tim, who was on a 7-game losing streak. So we thought, you know, he'll just wrap it up. You know, Stretch was playing Aaron, but, you know, we figured Steven would wrap it up. But that did not happen. Steven falls, Stretch wins, and there is now a 7-6 tie on the top of the Qdoba division, with Steven having about a 31-point advantage in the points for. So he should still take care of business, right? Steven is playing Don. Don has been trending in the wrong direction. He had a tough loss in the last week, so he's playing for his life, but Steven's playing him, and then Stretch is playing Zach, which, as we know, Zach is probably the hottest team in the league right now, so that's probably going to be tough for Stretch to guarantee a W there. So while I'm not saying that Steven has it locked up, I think that first round bye for the winner of the Qdoba division is still very much up for grabs, and this past week made it so. So that was my biggest takeaway. Let's look at this playoff picture. Virtually all but certainty, we have 5 teams that have clinched a playoff position. Hayden with the number 1 seed. Anthony looking like a surefire for that number 3 seed. Steven, Stretch, and Clayton all can only lose a maximum of 7 games. And when you look at the other 4 teams on the bubble, 7 wins is going to get you in. So they are all pretty much locked and loaded. Aaron and the Sun God squad, unfortunately the only team eliminated at this point. So on the bubble for one playoff spot, you have four teams: Don, Zach, ya boy, and Tim. It gets pretty simple from there. And I will say, I tried to use the whole ChatGPT thing again, but I did one of those things where like ChatGPT would say something and then I would respond and be like, but what about this? And then they would respond and be like, oh my gosh, you're totally right. Here's the updated thing. You guys ever have that happen?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Where I'm like, you're well, correcting, what about this?
ChatGPT?
You can't fully trust it sometimes with these things.
I know. So this was all off Chris's dome. So if anything of this sounds wrong or looks wrong, you guys let me know.
So I think with Don, it's very clear. If he wins, he is in.
If Don wins, he is in.
Yeah, oh, that's
and
right.
Chris is on the outside looking at him. Uh-huh.
Okay.
For Chris, if he wins, he has to have Don lose.
Yeah, but then you're the next safest with your clear points for, but you have to win and Don has to lose.
Okay. So Don is the only one that controls his destiny here. Don wins, he's in.
Yep.
Because he's a 7-loss team and everybody else is not. That makes sense. All right. So Don, you control your own destiny. Win, man, and you're in. Congratulations.
Make a trade or two. Come on.
There you go. To Tim's point, I believe I have the second best odds. If I win and Don loses, that's pretty much it. Now let's talk.
Let's go.
If I lose against Anthony, if Don loses against Steven, Zach, in all likelihood, makes the playoffs, ladies and gentlemen. He will probably have the higher points for against Don, and obviously he will have a better record than your boy.
If he wins.
I think
if he wins, yeah.
If he wins.
Wins against Stretch, which would be not easy. But I think that's what America wants. I think that's what the world wants.
Dude, Zach as a 6th seed would be... Whew. That's he would insane. Beat Anthony. I would put a lot of money on that.
Zach Anthony round one matchup.
Woo, yep.
Man. Gosh. I hope that happens. That'd be sick. But let's look at Tim.
My little snowball's in the microwave saying, hey, what about me?
Well, let's look at Tim. All right.
I know. Tim's got a shot. Tim's got a shot.
From my understanding, Tim gets in if he wins, obviously. Yeah. If Zach loses.
Yep.
If Don loses.
Yep.
And your boy loses.
Yep.
You get in.
And I have to end with more points for on the year than Don.
Right, because you are currently behind by 5.
Yep.
But that's very possible.
I mean, that is very possible.
Zach has to lose to Stretch. Okay. Don has to lose to Steven. Okay. It's really, can Chris totally crap the bed?
No, it's going to be the opposite. Is Anthony and his starting lineup consisting of
Chris Rodriguez, 40 points.
Kenny Gainwell, and holy crap, John Metchie.
Bye weeks hurt.
Oh my gosh.
Bye weeks hurt, Anthony.
John
so
Metchie's going to have 3 touchdowns, dude. I'm already calling it. I have been hurt,
hey,
boys.
You're saying there's a chance for me. That's all I care. That's all I hear.
Lamar's going off for 40 because he's playing against you.
Exactly. Man, that's so fun. That's so fun. All right. Put your name on it now. Who gets in the last playoff spot, Tim?
Well, as much as I'd love to think I got a little bit of luck or anything for enduring the 7-game losing streak, I think you're going to make it pretty, I'd say maybe fun, because I do think Don loses to Steven. We'll get into it later, but he doesn't have the horses this week. It's going to take a JSN miracle. And I think, you know, I just don't see how you could lose to Anthony. I think it might be a stinker, but I think Don loses, Chris wins, and Chris gets in.
Yeah, I know I have in the doc that I want it to be Zach, obviously, but I'm looking at the Don-Steven matchup. I'm seeing a lot of red on Steven's side, and we'll get there. I can see George Pickens and JSN doing what they've been doing all year with those matchups and just carrying Don potentially to the playoffs. I mean, you're looking at literally the wide receiver 1 and the wide receiver 2 on the year, both with decent matchups. I could see Don potentially pulling that out and making that last playoff spot his, which it would actually be insane if the loser's bracket was me, Aaron, Zach, Tim. That would be nuts.
That would be wild.
That's some good squads in there.
The whole league's praying for Zach to not make the playoffs, especially playoff teams. They do not want to see
him. I think we all can agree with that.
Yeah. So I think I'm actually going to go with Don. I think he sneaks in there, even despite my best efforts. I think
takes away the drama.
Yep.
Fun fact, is this our fifth year or sixth year? I always get mixed up.
This is six.
You're six. Okay. Yep.
It would be the first time that Don has ever made the playoffs.
Whew. Wow.
Good stat, Aaron. Good stat.
Nice. Oh, sweet. Is he the last one that's never made it?
Has Clayton never made it?
Clayton, I think.
Surely.
He made it. Yes, he did make it in 2020, okay. Our first year.
Okay. Good fact check. Good fact check.
Nice. Aaron, you're on it this episode. Sweet.
Heck yeah, baby.
All right. God,
get it done.
Aaron, did we ask who, or have all of us answered that question? Who we think is going to make it?
No, I have not answered yet, but okay. I'm going to be following the footsteps of Tim, and I'm going to say that you are going to clinch that final spot, Chris. I don't think Don, despite the argument that you made of his receivers, which I do think holds credence, 100%. And I didn't realize George Pickens was wide receiver two on the year. That's crazy.
It's kind of been a down year for total scoring. Like, Jameson, all the flowers, but yeah.
Jamar Chase, like, just with the quarterback situation.
Justin Jefferson's wide receiver's 20. Yeah. Like, it's like he's been very, very, very good.
Yeah.
But it's not a traditional wide receiver 2 year.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So I could see them keeping him in it, but, you know, what quarterback is he going to play this week? Like,
tough.
I mean, and then you look at his running backs and I want to throw up in my mouth. Like, it's just, it's kind of tough. So I'm going to go with Chris. I think you're going to get it done. I think Josh Allen has a big game. I think James Cook shows out and you're going to walk in as the sixth seed and the whole league, like I said, we'll thank you that you send Zach home.
Yeah, there you go. I think regardless, assuming Don loses, I think you will have a very, very feisty sixth seed. I mean, you have the second highest point scorer in the league and then probably the hottest team in the league. One of them is probably going to be the sixth seed, which is kind of crazy. So
yeah,
look out, folks. Look out. The boys are coming. Pause. All right, let's get into these power rankings.
Power rankings.
Power rankings. Let's do it. The final power rankings of the regular season.
Well, you know how we like to do it. We start on the bottom. Aaron,
I wonder who it's going to be.
How's it feel, Aaron?
I'm just kind of down there looking up like, hi, everybody.
He's got all the guys in the locker room saying, guys, we're boys, men, we're going out there. Just get used to this. Like, soak it in. Remember this taste in your mouth for next year.
Aaron, remember that crazy week that you put up 139 randomly? That was insane.
Against you.
God, I feel bad.
Hey, remember
that
week that Aaron beat me too in a pointless game? So yes. We are two of Aaron's three wins.
And I had like 90 points against you or something crazy.
It was so fun. Woohoo!
I am winning against my podcast
host. You're supposed to play spoiler for the other guys, not us.
For real.
I thought we had something going on here, okay?
Because of you could have three guys in the loser's bracket hosting a podcast. Where's the
that
fun in
be
that?
So sad.
I'm just creating enemies left and right, man.
Oh, my gosh. All right, well, man, this power rankings is fun and feisty all over the place a little bit. At number nine, you've got currently slated to make the playoffs in Jigbas in Paris.
Oh, it's so gross.
Ooh,
that's so nasty.
It's just
nasty.
He was in number nine last power rankings. He's in the playoffs. He's got it's all JSN. His team
is
correctly named. He has got one player that is carrying him and has the potential. If he's going to make any noise or get any postseason wins, it's all going to be on the back of JSN.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Coming in at number eight, I'm settling in nicely close, but no Jamar.
A feisty eight, though.
definitely deserved to be there after that. I don't even like 7 weeks was it was what a blur. I got nothing else. Nothing else to add.
It's like it didn't even happen.
Like, it's just like your heart gets taken out of it. Yeah. Like all the other years that I have like the late season drama where I'm just like devastated. And then my wife has to say, hey, are you okay? And I say, no. This year I'm like, eh, it's whatever. Like, who cares? It's whatever. I don't know. Whatever. Number seven, currently actually going to be a playoff team. The Red Rocket trying to get healthy. Right. Putting up number one points of the week last week. He's down here at number seven.
Yeah, I wonder who he played. Sorry. Just going to keep going.
Get over it.
I want the full-on crash out next week.
And the boys here dropped him a spot from last time because we are giving flowers and props to Breece Lightning.
Breece Lightning, away up there.
Getting him in here at the sixth seed in the power rankings. We've said it 14 times tonight already, but no one wants to see Zach in the playoffs, mm-hmm. except for those that don't make the playoffs, because then we just want chaos. At number five, down a spot from the week prior, he had a big matchup in live still for the one seed in Qdoba, but Walker hardly know her.
Walker?
Down here at five.
All right. And it feels like that's wrong. Like, it feels like Zach should go ahead of him.
It does.
I think if I put him below Zach, if I put him below Walker, hardly know her, I think I feel like I made a wrong choice there.
I'll take it back. I had him above. Fun fact, I was the only one that had him above.
It's one of those things. I wanted to put him above, but it's like,
I've played the respect game with Stretch, but now I'm just back on the hater train.
I don't know. An ideal power ranking, like if you're reading like a Bleacher Report or ESPN power ranking or whatever, like they are not going to have a 5-8 team above a 7-16. Like, they're just not. So I think that's maybe why we're so tainted by this.
Like, you know what this is, Chris?
If you ask me who to play tomorrow, I'd much rather play Stretch than Zach. So does that mean he should be higher? Like, I don't know.
This is literally Miami versus Notre Dame for the CFP playoff. I don't know if you guys have been monitoring that at all, but there's basically the argument that Notre Dame is getting into the playoffs, even though head-to-head they lost earlier in the season to Miami. And like their resumes are exactly the same. But people are saying, if you go onto a field now that the season is played, a neutral field, who wins straight up? People are like, Notre Dame definitely would. So I feel like this is all over again.
That's a good point.
Yep. Number four, we've got this is Mr. Number two, max points four on the year, Team Fairlife.
Yay.
5-8. Yay. Number four in the power rankings. You just do it every week. Put up points, man.
A Grammy winning crash out is coming next week. I can feel it.
I love you, man. It's so hard to not want to see that because I've been on the other end of that like three out of the first 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tim has some of the worst bad beats.
I need somebody else to have a bad beat, like a real bad beat.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. At number three, squeaked out past you, but Mount Passmore. Beat Stretch head-to-head a couple weeks ago. Lost to myself this past week. A little all over the place. Which I think is a testament to how dirty seeds 9 through 2 or 3 are on the power rankings.
Yeah, it is like, pretty gross.
You could go so many different ways this week, and it's just an insane year that we're seeing in this league.
I can't explain it, but Mount Passmore and Walker I Hardly Know Her are the same team to me. They're just both kind of there, where it's like they're in the playoffs. Neither of them scare you, but you know you have to put up a respectable points against them. I just put Mount Passmore above Steven because he's outscored him the past 3 weeks. So
they're both teams that you feel like you can beat them as long as you score 110 points.
Yeah.
Like, if that makes sense. And Steven, like, Jonathan Taylor's cooled off quite a bit, mm-hmm. From his like historic pace start. So he's still like obviously a top guy, but doesn't quite strike the fear in your heart as the Colts have kind of been flustering and floundering around lately.
And Jonathan Taylor's remaining schedule is not good.
Yeah.
You guys know how much I like analogies. I think of Stretch as the B, C student in school, where it's like they try, but the highest they're going to get is a B, and that's good enough at times. But then with Steven, he's that student in class that is capable of an A every time, but doesn't always show up. And so sometimes he's getting D's.
Yeah. I can see that. Steven just needs to get like his best lineup figured out. He's been so wishy-washy on who he starts between Khalil Shakir. Jacoby Myers has come out of nowhere. DK Metcalf sucks. Can T. Higgins stay on the field consistently? Like, so he's got so many guys that on any given week is like you could try to play the matchup. But, I mean, if he just can try to figure out what his best lineup is, I'm looking at Trey Benson on his IR in particular. I think that role is his once he gets back, and we've seen that he's a talented back. Something to keep
should
an eye
be back
on.
This week.
But yeah, I think if he can try to figure it out, you only got 1 week to do it. But try to figure out what that best lineup looks like. He could be really good, but that could come back to bite him potentially.
Yep. Well, I mean, no spoilers, but as a top, we have number two team uninspired youth. Again,
that felt
nasty. I could bucket teams two through nine together in the power rankings. Genuinely, two through nine could all go in a bucket and pull names out of a hat, and you can make a case for how they should be seated.
He's 9-4, though. Like, yeah.
Yeah, that's another perfect Miami Notre Dame thing. It's like, he's 9-4. I can't.
But did he play anybody?
Yeah, right.
Is he good?
Is he laying shits, just getting lucky? Which he kind of has been the past couple weeks, but
is he playing Ohio State or Ohio Southern? You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
And we've been talking about him in the number one spot for a long time.
Has he been there Hayden all year? Gibbs. Probably not.
Hayden gives me head
because of Clayton.
Yeah, man. Juggernaut.
That's wild. I'm looking at our preseason power rankings. And Tim had Hayden at 6. I had Hayden at 5. Aaron had Hayden at 6. And then, you know, I don't have the document pulled up. Looks like I don't know the last time we did power rankings. Week 5 is when we still had Hayden down there at 3 or 4. That's crazy. Anyway, so, yeah, Hayden's been up there all year. He's deserved it. So, anything stick out to you there? The two of you on the power rankings?
I mean, I said it, I think, in real time, just the disgust of Anthony being number two right now and Breece Lightning being a little lower than I think he really should be. But it's just, to Tim's point, just everything's jumbled and just messy.
You know what? What if we just go the college football playoff route? Let's let all 10 teams in the playoffs this year. Well, maybe 9. Aaron, sorry, you might stay out.
Yeah, right.
No,
but let's let the other 9 teams in the playoffs and just let's all hash it out.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Free for all.
I probably would not say that any other year but this one. Like, that would be kind of fun. It's just, let's just see what happens. Throw everybody in there.
Yeah, it's wild.
It's a melting pot. Just throw it in.
I know. All right, Tim, run through the power rankings one last time, and then we'll move on to make some money.
At the bottom, we've got the Sun God Squad, number 9, and Jigbas in Paris, number 8, Coach Mano Jamar, number 7, the Red Rocket, number 6, Breece Lightning, America's team this year, number 5, Walker, hardly knower, number 4, Team Fairlife, number 3, Mount Passmore, number 2, Team Uninspired Youth, and number 1, Gibbs Me Head.
Your number 9 team ranked in Jigbas in Paris, probably going to make the playoffs, folks. There you have it. That's what kind of year it is. All right, let's go make some cash.
The This League Guarantee. Oh, yeah.
The Turkey Day Guarantee got off to a rough start. Somehow the Lions put up points, and Jahmyr Gibbs is not amongst them with a touchdown, which just seems unfair.
Such a shame.
Seems unfair. Tim, we're not even going to roast you. We're just saying that's just dumb.
That's just the year I've
been
having.
How that happened.
The year I've been having with the NFL in general. From my Bengals to my fantasy league to my gambling year. It's just the year I'm having.
Yeah. I get that. But yes, Gibbs, anytime touchdown, unfortunately, did not make it. But on the bright side, Javonte Williams under 66.5 rushing yards and Jamar Chase plus 100 receiving yards. Both get it done from Aaron and I. So we have some momentum coming into this week. We do not have the turkey gobbler gods on our side, but we will try and capitalize on some of that momentum. Tim, we'll start with you, man. You got it this week. What are we doing?
We're looking at one of the better games with better matchups this week. I think it should be a good one. My Bengals playing at Buffalo.
Let's go.
It's going to be cold, but we're going to take a Jamar Chase anytime touchdown to get us going. This game should have a lot of points. Both defenses are pretty terrible. Both teams can score points. And historically, Burrow and Chase have lit up the Bills. So I'm looking for a touchdown this week.
I like it a lot. I will jump in here because I am also trying to take advantage of the points and the yards that I think are going to come from that game. I am summoning Old Reliable to the guarantee to bring it home this week. I am bringing out Josh Allen. I do think that he will get over 240 passing yards against the Cincinnati Bengals. And the reason that is, Josh Allen is an absolute different beast at home. His last three home games, as I pull up the stat, there we go. His last three home games, he's put up 317 yards, 273 yards, 253 yards, folks, all crushing that 240 passing yard mark. And like I said, his away games, which has been his last few, 123, 253, 305, which is good, but then 163, like, he is just a different guy at home. The Cincinnati Bengals have the second worst pass defense on average yards per game in football. And like I said, I do think this is going to be an absolute duel with Joe Burrow on the other side. It's one of those games where I think they're just going to go back and forth and show why they are two of the best quarterbacks of their generation. And I think that game's going to be a lot of fun. I think Josh Allen easily surpasses 240 passing yards. Aaron, we'll go to you for the last leg.
Yeah, and the last leg here for this league guarantee is going to be Jahmyr Gibbs.
Oh, he's back.
Yeah, I'm going back to the well, man. I think Jahmyr Gibbs' longest rush will be over 16.5 yards. The Dallas Cowboys defense all year
bad.
Has really been nothing to fear at all. They're 29th in the NFL in total defense. You guys want to guess what their rushing defense is?
Ranked?
Yes.
You guess, like, they've been probably been a couple, been a little better the last couple weeks with the addition of Quinnen Williams, but I bet they're still like 29th.
They're 20th. So okay. They have improved.
Okay.
But still,
bottom half.
They've got some issues and they are vulnerable. So I like Jahmyr Gibbs to have an explosive game, especially coming off a loss. You know that the Lions are going to be motivated. They may not have Amon-Ra, so they're probably going to have to lean on him heavily. So I like Jahmyr Gibbs in this spot a lot.
As do I. I don't hate it. I was actually like set on betting some kind of Jameson Williams line, but like I feel like the Lions were pretty good. It was like plus six, over under six catches, over under like 90 yards. I was like, those are pretty good. So I stayed away from that. I like my Josh Allen one much better. So one more time for the folks at home. Your guarantee this week, Josh Allen, over 240 passing yards. Jahmyr Gibbs, the longest rush, over 16.5 yards. And Jamar Chase, an anytime touchdown scores. Combine those together, that gets you plus 509 or 10 bucks, gets you 60 bucks. That's a lot of Chipotle burritos, boys. And I like those. Go ahead, put your money on it, put it in your sports book of choice, and go win you some money because we guarantee it. Let's get into this nonsense madness final week of the regular season of the 2025 season, week 14. Week 14 is here, and of course, after a beautiful week with no bye weeks, everybody got to play their strongest lineups. We say goodbye to team uninspired, I mean, four teams, the Carolina Panthers, the New England Patriots, the New York Giants, and the San Francisco 49ers get the week off. And of course, they will return for the playoffs next week. Five matchups, I would say four, with very, very big implications, and one that probably doesn't really mean much. So we probably won't spend a ton of time on there. But we will just dive right into it here. Our first matchup we have, it is Aaron and the Sun God Squad, already eliminated from playoff contention, coming into this one at 3-10, taking on Hayden and Gibbs Mehead at 11-2, already clinched the number one seed. Aaron, what are you looking out for in this game? Or maybe the better question is, what is there to play for? What are you striving for here this week?
Well, first of all, I am insulted by the quote on our doc right now that I'm going to share with the listeners. I don't know who put this in there, but the game that literally doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
And what's funny is I agree with you. And I actually put a comment that said, aha, ha, I suck.
Yeah. Yeah. So, hoping maybe some of your young guys can step out here and get some momentum going into that loser's bracket.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, what I'm looking out for myself is I'm hoping that I score as little of points as possible and that my entire team decides to not show up. So that way I have a better chance of the number one pick in the rookie draft that will be valuable. But on a more serious note, I think I am just trying to get some momentum going into next year. I want to see some of my young, you know, talent, the likes of Ladd McConkey, Emeka Egbuka, you can wake up now. You've been asleep for 6 weeks, it seems like. Rome Odunze, you can do something. I'm poking you with a stick. And then Amon-Ra, my guy, just get healthy. Let's just show up next year, man. So it's going to be a slaughter. I already know that. I'm like a pig going into a slaughterhouse, man. I know my fate. It is what it is.
Is Hayden getting Hayden a tune-up game? Well, actually, Hayden technically doesn't even have a game next week, so giving him a little tune-up game.
Now, what we're really looking at in this game is one player in particular, R.J. Harvey.
I know. That's what I was gonna. You stole mine.
Is he a guy? Is Hayden adding a guy for the playoff run? He hasn't looked great since J.K. Dobbins went down with injury. He scored 21 points, but he ran the ball 13 for 35 and two touchdowns. Like, that's just a gross stat line. Didn't look pretty. And, you know, he's got the Raiders this week. So is he going to be a guy? That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, I think this is the first time that R.J. Harvey is starting in his lineup all year. Travis Etienne had a disappointing week last week, so I think that's who we're opting for this week, going the R.J. Harvey route. So, like you said, I think if he can come out as a guy for Hayden, even if it is ugly, or you getting a touchdown or two a game, six catches, whatever it may be, that's going to make Hayden look even more formidable moving forward. So, are we all going Hayden here? Is that safe to say?
Yes, sir.
1,000%.
All right. Clean sweep for Hayden. Nice little tune-up game before, in all likelihood, a bye. And then going into the playoffs, Aaron.
He has an 83% chance of winning already.
Yeah. That's very high.
That's wild.
With both rosters set. That's pretty crazy. All right. Let's go into this next matchup. It is one with playoff implications. It is Clayton, all but guaranteed a playoff spot at 7-6, taking on Tim and close but no Jamar at 5-8. We heard it earlier. If Tim gets the dub, all he needs is for your boy to lose, for Zach to lose, for Don to lose, and he outscores Don by 7 points. That's it. That's all you need, Tim. How you feeling about your chances?
Not great, Bob.
Hey, I give it a 5% chance.
Yeah, we're in the single digits, but you know, we broke the losing streak. We're just gonna try to enjoy it this week.
Yeah, well, as somebody who played Clayton last week, I mean, on that scenario, the first thing you have to do is win, and I'm not confident that is going to happen this week for
me
you.
Either.
We've said it all year. I'm looking at the wonderful, beautiful This League copyright patented Whopper, 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 Whopper. Double decker tight end stacker. I think they are back with a freaking vengeance, man. Trey McBride, the tight end one on the year. If you want to look at something very like satisfying to your eyeballs, go to Trey McBride and click his game log. It's just green everywhere. It's so beautiful. His last 5 weeks, he's been the tight end 6, tight end 1, tight end 1, tight end 2, tight end 2. Trey McBride's back. And then while it might not look pretty, don't watch the games, but read his stat line. The tight end 5 of the year, and that is with him missing 3 weeks. Brock Bowers is back as well. He was the tight end 1 last week. They both have really good matchups, tough defenses, but surprisingly defenses you can beat on the tight end level, with Brock Bowers taking on the Broncos and Trey McBride taking on the Rams. You're expected to hopefully maybe get Drake London back. He has not practiced this week, but they were aiming for a week 14 return. If that happens, Bucky Irving came back last week. He immediately took that workhorse role back. Don't worry, I saw it with my own two eyes. And so I think Clayton is starting to get his guys back, the guys who are for sure going to produce for him. And if that double-decker tight end stacker continues to perform, look out. I think he could be a real dynamite heading into this one, heading into the playoffs. Aaron, what do you got on this one?
Well, with Clayton, when we're looking at his lineup, you already mentioned Drake London. If he's back, that's a full-strength lineup for Clayton. We already talked about Tim needing some divine intervention to make the playoffs. I think his team needs to have a lot go right in order for him to get the win. And I do see some potential on his side. It starts on Thursday Night Football. CeeDee Lamb has to have a CeeDee Lamb-type game that George Please. Pickens has largely been having. Mm-hmm. This season, for him to set himself up to potentially get the win here. So there's some other questionable tags for Clayton with Bucky Irving, Baker Mayfield. I don't know how serious those are. Might just be precautionary. A lot of veterans don't practice on Wednesdays, so I wouldn't be too nervous if I were him. But then you look at Brock Bowers. Yes, he's a stud, but Denver is not an easy matchup. And then Brian Thomas, I'm not a believer in at all. I mean, what?
Our campaign is going so well, Tim. Brian Thomas's butt.
What do I have to believe in? He's been out, the last 3 or 4 weeks and comes back against Tennessee that has literally nothing to play for. If I don't have anything to play for, Tennessee definitely doesn't. And all he does is get 3 targets.
That team is begging for Travis Hunter, man. That team is begging for Travis Hunter.
They really are. And and then, he has New England still as a defense on bye. So he's got to get that figured out, hopefully. But yeah, so that's kind of what I'm looking for.
The last thing I'll say, Tim, you're not getting away with it. I see Saquon down there on the bench. You don't have the balls. You don't have the balls. He'll be in there. You're going to start him over Kyle Manungai.
I might be foreshadowing a little bit, but I don't know that I'm expecting him on my team come Monday Night Football. So I just want to get a little sneak peek of what it looks like.
All right. I forgot to say, to Aaron's point, despite Clayton not currently having a starting defense in his lineup, Sleeper giving him a 57% chance of victory here. So, Tim, needing a miracle to make the playoffs, but hey, it's possible. Who you taking here, Aaron?
Fellas, I'm taking Tim.
Woo!
Yeah!
I'm going with Tim. I think that he's going to get the pieces that he needs to perform. I think Ja'Marr Chase has a big game. They're going to have to compete with Buffalo. CeeDee Lamb against Detroit. Detroit is literally on its last leg. They are in desperation mode to do what they can to make the playoffs. So are the Cowboys. I could see Aronde Gadsden on Monday Night Football having a big game. Christian Watson was impressive. Jalen Hurts.
How about that pickup off the waiver wire?
Dude, insane. I mean, he's
just out there.
He was, yeah. And really, the last few weeks, I don't put it on him. I don't think it's been his fault. I just think the Chargers passing offense just sometimes goes into flux a little bit. But I like it, man. I think that Tim is going to do it because of some of these other matchups and questionable tags for Clayton. So give me Tim.
I want to take Tim, man, but I don't think I can. Woody Marks probably going up against the toughest run defense in football.
Prime rushing, time. Man. He's going to get those receptions.
I know. But prime time, I want to love him, and he was starting to get his work ramped back up last week. But I can't in good conscience go with that squad, despite how much I like Ja'Marr Chase and CeeDee Lamb this week. So
yeah,
I'm unfortunately have to pick Clayton.
I will too. The only thing I got going for me is my Broncos defense at Vegas. Can they score a couple touchdowns? You know, look at how I beat Steven last week, right? My Seattle Seahawks defense put up a nice solid 29 points.
Yeah.
versus his Falcons getting 4. So remember this in the offseason when we talk about defenses and whether or not we want them to continue in this league. But my defense is going to be what I'm leaning on for that snowball in the microwave to not melt.
There you go. All right. Well, does that mean you're picking you, Tim?
No.
Okay.
For Pickhams, it's officially a Clayton pick.
All right. 2 for Clayton, 1 for Tim. Aaron believes in miracles.
I do. I want chaos.
He thinks it can happen.
It's all I have to live for.
All right. That's
just watching us all go, fight.
Yeah, I know. Right. All right. Let's go into this next matchup. It is your boy, Team Fairlife, coming into this one at 5-8, taking on Team Uninspired Youth and Anthony at 9-4. Some people thinking maybe a potential playoff preview. If you're looking at a 6-3 seed here coming into it. As of right now, sleeper given your boy, Team Fairlife, a 66% chance of victory. Aaron, we'll throw it over to you, man. I think the big story here is probably Anthony's squad, but I'll let you jump in and tell us what you're looking out for.
Well, I'm going to start off with you, Chris. And if there's ever a time when you need arguably your best player to pull through for you, can Josh Allen pull off one final ride to get you to glory and get you that chance at the number 6 seed? I think he has a prime spot to do it. I mean, if you could pick any defense in the league for Josh Allen to go up against when you absolutely need him to perform, I feel like the Bengals are going to be right at the top.
They're probably one.
Yeah. So it's very ideal. And then James Cook in the same game. Jameson Williams will be the X factor, I think. If he gets off to a really good start tomorrow on Thursday Night Football, that puts you in the driver's seat already. But he, as we've seen, he has the potential to also disappear. So whether Amon-Ra plays or not, that really could swing things. And then the other thing I'm looking for is Kyren healthy. He had a questionable tag. I didn't see the practice reports today. Did he practice in full?
He was limited today, which I think he is most Wednesdays.
Yeah. And do you have Blake Corum?
I do.
Okay. So you're covered either way then. If he does end up getting ruled out, you can plug Blake Corum right back in to your lineup there. But that's going to be one to monitor as well. You're playing Anthony also on a prime week. He's hurting big time with byes. You got Christian McCaffrey, who's not available. Rico Dowdle is not available. Those are stalwarts in his lineup. And Jay Jettas might as well be on bye. I mean, he's pretty much unplayable as well. You mentioned it I think a podcast or two ago that he's been the saddest story in all of fantasy football this year, and I completely agree. We're seeing that just play out in real time. So this is going to be a fun one. But yeah, curious to hear what you think, Tim.
I hope it's a fun one. I hope it's a little tight. Chris has to sweat it out. You know, there's no early jump start on Anthony's side, but there is on Chris's side with, you know, one of J-Mo Williams on Thursday Night Football. But for me, for Chris to have his dub and get in, my eyes are going to DeAndre Swift.
Najee Swift, baby.
Najee Swift is the RB17 on the year. He just had an RB3 finish last week. I feel like Ben Johnson is doing everything he can to get DeAndre Swift hurt because he wants to give the keys to Kyle Monongai so bad. And DeAndre Swift is just taking all these opportunities saying, look, I'm still good. Look, I'm still good.
Look at me cut to the outside.
He has been very good this year. He's rushing almost 5 yards a carry. You're probably going to end. It's probably going to be his best year as a pro. But I mean, he's sitting around right around like a 50-50 snap share. Monongai is, you know, the touchdown goal line guy. And like I said, I feel like Ben Johnson's really just wanting to give it all to Monongai. But DeAndre Swift is still there, still getting it done. And I think he's going to be the keys to whether or not Chris gets to, like, has to sweat it out. Or if come that 4 o'clock afternoon on a Sunday, if DeAndre Swift looks good and puts up points, then I think it'll be curtains.
Yeah, Jameson Williams is going to put up a goose. I can just feel it. He does this every single time where he has a great performance. And then, yeah, I'm just not going to catch anything. Like, I'm just not going to catch a ball like he's done two times.
He does have
this
two
year.
Gooses on the year and a insane. 2-point game.
And he's still the wide receiver 24, which is kind of nuts.
That's crazy.
Yeah, wide receiver 2, baby.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I'm picking me, and not because of my squad, but I just – it wasn't too long ago, guys, when Dylan Sampson – and who else did you freaking start, Aaron?
Michael Carter.
Michael Carter.
Yep.
Led Aaron to a 138-point performance and put me to the sword. I am hurt here. I am scarred. I am scared. John Mechie, like, I'm over here being like, man, John Mechie has a great matchup. You know, I have that mindset of just being scared. But I am going to take me. I'm not going to go crazy or anything. And you guys can prepare yourself for the crash out of the century if I don't get the dub here. So I'm going with myself.
Yep, taking Chris here as well.
Chris, let me instill some confidence in you. I'm going to take you to win, and you're going to win by a lot. Get that 50 button ready. I'm talking 50 points.
Woo, Lord.
50.
50-point barn burner.
You're going to absolutely destroy Anthony this week, and I think that averages will come to pass, and you will make the playoffs.
Well, let's hope so, boys and girls. Two matchups left in the regular season to preview here. Let's go to the one. It is America's team. Zach and Breece Lightning taking on Stretch and Walker, our hardly knower. Currently, Stretch giving Zach a 52% chance of victory. You gotta love that. And it's crazy. We've been talking so much good about Zach's team, about how we like folks there. He has Tet McMillan on bye this week, as well as Travion Henderson. So two of those guys that have been kind of staples in his lineup coming out means he has a must-win game where he's going to have to rely on. I mean, if you heard this 5 weeks ago, he's going to have to rely on A.D. Mitchell for the New York Jets.
Wow.
And Troy Franklin for the Denver Broncos, which... The A.D. Mitchell one, I don't hate, guys. I don't hate that start. I'm in another league where I was, like, desperate for wide receiver help, and I was hoping A.D. Mitchell was on the waiver wire. He wasn't. But we always known that he's been talented, man. Like, we know he's got the talent. It didn't work out in the Colts because you freaking can't hold on to the ball. But he had 12 targets, 8 catches, and a touchdown last week. He gets the Dolphins this week. he's somebody that I'm looking for that I think can actually potentially be a staple in his lineup if he does make the playoffs or, heck, even the loser's bracket. I think he's somebody that you have to kind of look out for moving forward, and that's particularly who I'm looking out for in this game. On Stretch's side, you're looking at Mike Evans, currently slotted in. He's been limited in practice, by far a guarantee from playing, but showing a lot of confidence from Stretch, trying to go to Ole Reliable and Mike Evans this week. He has Drake May on bye, but he gets to turn to Jacoby Brissett, who's been absolutely balling this year. So interesting lineups there. Very interesting players in the field. But yeah, that A.D. Mitchell versus Mike Evans matchup, I think it's something that I'm going to be looking out for. What about you, Tim?
I was looking at Mike Evans. You know, he's got five games to put up 860 yards to keep his 1,000-yard season streak alive. I don't think it's going to happen, but... Ooh. There's part of me that just thinks that they're just going to try to force feed him. But for me, it's Stretch's flex two, Michael Wilson. Goes nuclear for 2 weeks with a 33-point game and a 22-point game. Right back to reality. 3 for 36 last week.
Yikes.
Gets a tough matchup against the Rams. So I could see a way for Ken Walker to maybe get in at Atlanta. Maybe Devon Vele's in the middle of his going nuclear two-game stretch. Or Cortland Sutton. He's kind of finally coming around as of late. But the flex two spot is going to be a lot of question marks outside of, obviously, Mike Evans being a big question mark.
There you go. Aaron, who you got in this game?
I'm going to take Zach. I think it's going to be a close one, though. I think it's going to be very close. I think that Stretch, to Tim's point, has some serious lineup decisions he needs to make. I don't love Michael Wilson in the flex, and if Mike Evans is out, you know, who do you start? Cortland Sutton honestly does look pretty attractive against the Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, they are pretty sorry defense overall. So I think give me Zach for the vibes, but also I want the chaos.
This is also a vibey pick for me. I'm going Zach as well. And even some of those matchups, I really like Javonte Williams against the Lions, Breece Hall against the Dolphins. We already said A.D. Mitchell against the Dolphins as well. You don't like Marvin Harrison against the Rams and Rashee Rice against the Texans, but again,
that's tough.
Going for the vibes, man. I really want Zach to get an early win, pull out ahead quick, and really start putting the pressure on. Like that's really what I want. Is I want Dawn in like a 50-50 match all the way till the end, and then Zach and I just to, or like maybe I'm close and Zach's just blowing it away. Like I just want as much chaos as possible. So I'm going Zach here.
I'm gonna get in here and take Stretch. I think, you know, as much fun as chaos is, I think, you know, Zach's season is going to end with one loss to finish out the year. Just not getting Tet McMillan, who's on bye, and Wandale Robinson, two key cogs in his lineup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's been great.
He has been really good.
I think it's a tough one. And then, yeah, I didn't even see the lineups for, or the matchups for Rice against Houston. That's just tough. So for that reason, I think Stretch is going to just go walk into the playoffs and probably get the first seed in Qdoba via a dub this week.
All right. Well, there you have it. That is two for Zach based off of vibes and one probably based in more realism with Tim going with Stretch. We'll see how that one turns out. We have one final game, which makes that our game of the week, and I think that is the correct choice, being this is the one, Donathan, this is the week, this is the game where if you win, you're in. But he's taking on a Steven side who very, very much is expected to be the favorite to win the Qdoba division. Don's gonna have to take down arguably the division leader to get into the playoffs. Sleeper currently giving Mount Passmore and Steven a 62% chance of victory here. Again, if he wins, he gets the number one seed. If he loses, he's going to have to be rooting for Zach to try to beat Stretch to hold on to that number one seed. Or if Don wins, he's in. It's that simple, ladies and gentlemen. Tim, we'll start with you. You look up and down these lineups. What's the one thing you're watching for?
I am watching for Don to get off his butt and make some trades. This is closest he's ever been. Why are we still looking at Tony Pollard and
Devin Neal, baby?
Devin Neal in the starting lineup. That's just absolutely gross and a must. Okay, maybe it's not technically a must win, but it's essentially a must win game. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers. Are you kidding me? He has Baltimore. Like this. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I'm always one to trade picks and go for it. But come on, man. Like put up a fight. Swing first. You know, Steven's got a lot of bad matchups. We kind of mentioned that earlier. But my eyes are on what can Don do to his lineup between today and Monday Night Football.
Yeah. That's a good point. Aaron, before I throw it over to you, I have a question. Is A.J. Brown back?
He very well could be.
All right. Just the last 2 weeks, 25, 35. And the crazy thing is the Eagles have lost both those games.
Yep.
Which means that maybe they won't be thrown to him anymore.
Didn't he get quoted after the last game being like, hey, why didn't you guys win? And he said, it's because I didn't get the ball enough. Like, I like a diva wide receiver, but man.
He does kind of annoy me.
Nice.
A little bit.
All right, what are you looking out for here?
Well, we've talked about it at length, but if Don wins, he's in the playoffs, controls his own destiny. Can he have that final late surge from his wide receivers? You got to look at George Pickens. You got to look at Jackson Smith and Jigba. You got to look at Chris Olave. And then the X factor, fellas, may very well be Terry McLaurin.
Mm-hmm. I was about to say that.
He came back from injury and immediately against, I would say, respectable Denver defense, gets 14 targets, seven catches, 96 yards, and a TD.
Now, I will say he's playing a Minnesota defense that just shut down Jackson Smith and Jigba last week. Well, he had his worst game of the year.
And that's where I think the X factor mark on Terry is very much applicable here, because without Terry getting some sort of production, where else are you going to get it from? Jonnu Smith, Tony Pollard at Cleveland, Devin Neal from Kansas.
Kansas. I knew that. Dang it. Yep. Didn't give me enough time.
Tony Pollard from?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Memphis.
Kansas.
So anyway, yeah, it's going to be tough sledding for Don. And to Tim's point, you're playing Aaron Rodgers. You have some picks. You're on the cusp of making the playoffs for the first time in 6 years. I would love to see Don make a move. And I will personally, because I know this is something that a lot of league members are very sensitive to how people react to trades. If Don makes any sort of trade, you have my word that I will not be speaking ill about that whatsoever.
Yeah, especially if it's a win now. I mean, Don's going to just sell JSN for 2 firsts to Hayden. Be like, what?
No, his price is 3 firsts, is what he said.
As it should be. As it should be. Yeah, so that should be interesting here. Tim, did I already throw it to you, or do you have anything to add here?
Yeah, I was talking through trying to give a pep talk to Don to go do something. Oh,
that's right. Yes. I already said it earlier, but I'm picking Don here. I just think his wide receivers, his engine of his team per se, have great matchups, great weather per se for his car to really go fast this week. And I think he's going to shock some people, take down Steven, and unfortunately make the playoffs and make it boring for the rest of us. Aaron, who you got?
No, it's not what's going to happen, Chris. I think chaos ensues. I think Steven wins this one. Jonathan Taylor gets back on track. The Colts get the monkey off their back and go win in Jacksonville.
They need it.
They absolutely need it.
Gosh.
And Chase Brown, I think he could have a good game. Jacoby Myers has been coming on in Jacksonville because he's actually a good receiver. And then Khalil Shakir, AJ Brown's been doing good. I do like a lot of what Steven's putting out there. So I feel good about Steven's team. And unfortunately, Don, he came so close, but still short.
Tim, who you taking? The last pick 'em of the regular season.
I'll take Don in the pick-ems.
Boom. Two for Don.
We'll do it. Say the matchups. How does it feel to be Steven and just know that you have to bench T. Higgins and DK Metcalf?
Crazy.
For Khalil Shakir and Jacoby Myers. That's just weird to say out loud.
What am I missing? Why is he benching T. Higgins? Joe Burrow, he had a good game, first game. He's been hurt, right?
He had a bad concussion 2 games ago, still not cleared from the protocol, so it could just be him trying to get ahead and say that he may not be playing. But I don't know, Jacoby Myers has been good. Like, Shakir's the one that you're probably looking at. Like, in that same game, who would you rather play?
Yeah, Shakir held to one catch last week, so not putting a ton of confidence in you, but he is at home. Like I said, Josh Allen's a different animal at home. So if that's one way to do it, it would be there. But ladies and gentlemen, that is two picks for Don. One pick for Steven. It's looking like this pod is thinking that Don may just sneak into those playoffs at 7-7 and spoil the fun for the rest of us, unfortunately. That was your week 14 preview, boys. The final regular season week of what I can confidently say is one of the most insane this league seasons we've seen so far. 2025 is going to go down in the history books, fellas.
Yeah, going to be a fun finish.
All right, let's go ahead and sign out of here. Nice! As always, leave a nice comment, constructive if it's mean. Share us with your friends. Leave us a good rating. And as always, frantically press the like button. Like, I'm going to be frantically refreshing my screen this week.
Just hoping give the like for Don to crash demise. Out. Just lose your stuff my over gosh. It.
Yell at the like button. Yeah. I mean, you could press it as well, but if you yell at it, I heard that still counts.
Just a simple click. Don't overcomplicate it.
Or you could just click it as well. How was everybody's mac and cheese last week?
Oh, as the kids would say, it was bussin'.
It wasn't on the table. Like you said, the analogy with Don's team, does it belong? It apparently didn't.
There we go.
You didn't have mac and cheese on the menu?
No, sir.
Wow, man.
That's very disappointing. Tim, I thought you were a little off this week.
With like a breadcrumb crust on it. It was pretty sick.
I like that. All right, boys. Enjoy the final week. Don, I love you, but I hope you lose. But I love everybody else. See you guys.
So much fun to watch.
Chaos, baby. Peace. Let's go. Go on and get it.